We're going to teach on the book of Ruth this morning. And how many of you know that book, the book of Ruth? Four chapters. How many of you know the book of Ruth? A little bit. Beautiful story. And that'll be our theme, a message from that book. Pastor Shibeli gave a great message at 9 o'clock on God's ways, God's unique ways, his mind, and how he works in history. What does he do? And how we don't really understand his ways left to ourselves. We don't know his ways. But we also know the Holy Spirit reveals to us God's ways. He said in Psalm 103 about Moses, God taught Moses his ways. And I think about Moses learning, and just like you and I, we're learning who God is and how we live our lives. So today it'll be a good message. I believe that. So would you stand with me as we begin and just kind of in your heart, like say this simple prayer with me. Lord, give us listening ears, listening hearts today and through the week, and teach us prayer and trust. Lead us and show us your ways. In Christ's name, amen. Before you are seated, would you turn to your neighbor and just tell them some good encouraging words like, God is with you, grace be unto you, peace be unto you, Jesus is with you. Okay. Yes, praise the Lord. All right, you may be seated. Our first principle is from Colossians 3. Turn there with me, Colossians chapter 3. I have a coffee grinder up here on the pulpit. Here it is. Yeah, filled with what? Coffee beans. This is an illustration. I'd like you to read the verse, Colossians 3. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Look at that verse. Let the word of Christ, these are amazing words in our Bible, the word of Christ, the word of life, the words of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:13. Let, meaning allow this to happen, that the word of Christ would dwell in you. Where would the word of Christ dwell in you? In your mind. How? Richly. What does richly mean? Abundantly. Yes, a lot of it. What? The word of Christ. Dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. So we are teachers, we are talking, we are fellowshipping, we are encouraging, we are wise, we are counseling, we are listening, we are have a mind of faith, a mind. This coffee grinder is a picture of a mind. Your mind is like a coffee grinder, the machine. And the beans are what? The word of Christ. Ready for the big demonstration? Okay, why am I doing this? As if you don't know what I'm doing? So why am I doing it? Only because I want to smell them. Okay. Like a long time. A long time. Okay. Hey, good question. What do you have grinding in your mind? What's grinding in your mind? I can smell it. This is like my meditation is depending on what I put in there, right? If it's the word of Christ, there will be a fragrance, a fellowship, truth, Holy Spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in your mind and heart, and then what happens? But fellowship. Fellowship with God. I'm sure you've all had a dog where the dog loved you. How about it? Anybody? Did you have a dog that loved you? You had a dog that would lie down, open its belly up, and just say, I am here. The dog would say, here I am. I love you. The dog is on the floor, and you scratch it or pet it and so on. You know, this is part of life for us. We have fellowship with God, and we are open to God. How do you get open to God? By being open to His Word. The Word going in to our hearts and minds and us worshiping God in the Spirit of God. And you can actually smell that. You can actually feel the encouragement and the love. You can actually sense that God, the Holy Spirit, has been sent into your life. Right? But here's what happened to Naomi in the book of Ruth. Turn there now, please, to Ruth. And this is your Sunday reading, or you can read it this week, the book of Ruth, and glean from it. It's such a beautiful book because it's so short. It's so much about two women. She's got a mark against her because of the country that she's from. She's from Moab. The Jews had an attitude about the Moabites. They were not welcome in the tabernacle. According to the law of Moses, the Moabites were on the other side of the Jordan, the Dead Sea. And Ruth came from there because her mother-in-law, Naomi, with her husband Elimelech, went there because there was famine in Israel. And as they moved to Moab 10 years later, the husband is dead, and worse, even more, the two sons have died. Mahlon and Chilion were their names. They were dead. So a woman in the ancient world without a husband, without the sons, and with a foreigner in a Moabite country is in trouble. And so she's discouraged and depressed. It's so easy for that to happen to people. They get broken, homeless, without a job. They get into more trouble. And it seems like the coffee grinder By the way, this illustration is from Dr. Wilder Smith, a famous scientist from Europe. And he said that the mind is like this. And he said, and he's a Christian, and he said that if you put gravel in the coffee grinder, then you won't have anything good come out of it and probably will break the grinder. And people are like this. If you put lies in the human heart and the human mind, then it's so destructive what happens in my life as a person. And this was happening to Naomi. How many homeless people are hurting and broken and devastated in life, and how that can happen? So this is the beginning of the story. First part of the story is how this woman, whose name means pleasant, Naomi means pleasant, she said when she returned to Bethlehem, to Israel, where she was from, she came back, and the people that had seen her leave 10 years late earlier, when they said, "Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi?" Look at chapter 1 in verse 19. So the two went, this is Ruth and Naomi, went till they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" You know, if you put the wrong stuff in the coffee grinder, people might ask you, "Is that you? What happened to you? What are you thinking? Why are you? You look so old. You look worn out. Life is hard. What happened to you?" You know, this church is here for this reason. It's here to teach us and lead us into something amazing that every one of us have. But one of the lies that can go in the coffee grinder is that, you know, this works for these people, but it doesn't work for me. It's not going to work for me. But that's not true. It works for whoever. Because we understand that God is the God of grace, the God of all grace. He is a God, the God that gave Jesus Christ for us so that we could have grace. Every single person in this world is an object of, everybody that's alive is an object of God's grace. There's nobody excluded from that great grace. He gave Christ for everybody. It is not, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He has no pleasure in Satan keeping us bound. He has no pleasure in the coffee grinder grinding pebbles and lies and empty promises and foolishness. He has no pleasure in our broken hearts, in our devastated lives. Amen. But Naomi is a good picture of one of these homeless people, beat up and hurting. And the people on the beltway and in the suburbs and living in nice houses and having nice lives. It's the same pebbles and gravel that churns in their mind that produces depression and fear and alcoholism and unbelief and everything else. So this is the first point of our message today. what happened to her, and I have 4 points that I want to show you. The first thing she did was she went home. The first thing that she did when she had this trouble, she decided, I'll go home. That's the first thing that she did, a decision. I will go home to my people. I'll go home to where I came from. I came from my people. That's like sometimes when I meet somebody on the street in Baltimore, I will ask them, did your grandmother teach you about Jesus? And 90% of the time, yes, my grandmother. Was your grandmother a good woman? Yes, my grandmother was a good woman. My grandmother taught me about Jesus. Come home. Come home, go back. Come to the place to hear about the God of your grandmother, the God of grace, the God that answers prayer. Come home. That's the key to your healing. And to have my mind, but to relate to God, put some coffee beans in there. You know, enough of this garbage that is all around us in our society. Forget it. It's over. I'm not doing that. Forget it. I'm heading home. I'm going home. And you know, out of the two women, there was Orpah and Ruth. It was Ruth that said, I'm going with you. And the second thing is having a friend, having somebody with you. And it says when Naomi walked, she turned to go home, to go to Bethlehem. I mean, this is, you know, from Moab. It's like it's just some days walking. You know, she just turned and was silent because she's broken. She's a broken woman. She doesn't have anything to give anybody. Just maybe nasty words or, you know, get out of my face. You know, leave me alone. I'm depressed. I'm devastated. But Ruth, it says she followed her and was silent. You know, a friend that can be with you, a friend that will say, I believe your God, listen to this. She said, your God will be my God. Where you live, I will live. Where you are buried, I will be buried. I'm going with you. Wow. You know, the church is in this world to be friends with people that are hurt, to forgive people that have made bad decisions, to encourage people. It says teaching and admonishing one another. That's a big word for encouragement. You have a future. God is the God of all grace. Jesus is here. Jesus does things. He waves his hand and he heals. He says a word. Yeah, Jesus puts mud on somebody's eyes and tells them to wash in the pool and they are healed. Jesus fed the multitude. Christ said the prayers. Jesus said to the disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. God is a God of restoration. It's a very big word. It's to restore. It's to heal. It's to help us. It's to change us because, you know, my machine is broken because of the gravel that I've been grinding, the pebbles that I've been churning, the wood chips, wood, hay, and stubble that I'm grinding up in my head. It's garbage. It's revenge. It's hatred. It's fear. It's jealousy. It's anger against God. It's a bitterness in my heart. Because she says this in verse 20. It says, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi. I want to have a name change. Not Naomi. You have no idea. Call me Mara. And that word means bitter. for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I blame him. I blame him. Call me bitter, for he has made me bitter. He took my husband. He took my two sons. He has made me bitter. May call me bitter. How many people on the streets in America are like this? How many people are hurt? How many people are in trouble? How many people don't have anything to grind in their mind except this bitterness? Okay, so this is a sad thing, but it's in my heart. I like the subject because this is part of what we do, and I think I made the point. But you know what's interesting in the story? She said it, but nobody is not recorded that anybody called her bitter. Ruth did not call her bitter. She said, I want to have a name change. Call me bitter. And everybody listening is like, not going to happen. No, I don't accept that. I remember one mother telling me her son came home drunk. He was driving. He drove home. He was drunk. The mother and the son, teenage son, got in a fight. And he said, this is me. This is my choice. I get drunk. This is my life. This is me. This is who I am. And the mother said, this is not who you are. This is, I don't accept it. This is not who you are. This is not who you are. And I will fight all the time. This is not who you are. And then he gets angry and he goes out and he drives away. I like that. You say, call me bitter, and what do we say? That's not who you are. That's not God. That's not true. I don't accept that. That's not his plan. That's not the end of it. It's not over. That's not who you are. And in the book, nobody's calling her bitter. Ruth is not her friend. Ruth, her friend, is not saying that to her. Now, the three things. She came home, and go to chapter 2 and verse 19 to 22 are these points. Her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Gleaning means going through a field to pick up the fruit or the grain that has been missed by the harvesters. And in Jewish law, the law of Moses, the Jews were to leave the corners of the field like full with the grain for the poor. So the poor could go in the field and get the food by gleaning it on their own. If you remember, Jesus and the disciples were hungry, and they went to the field and plucked the corn. They were free to do it because they were poor people. Jesus and his disciples were poor. They were allowed to glean. And so Ruth and her mother-in-law are without jobs, without an income, without a family support system. So Ruth is out in the field to get food. And her mother-in-law said, where have you gleaned today? What field? Where have you gone? And you see in this, at least I see it anyway, that this woman, Naomi, and Ruth, there's some hope. There's something born in this woman. There's something, like when that hope comes, this is very important for us. I can believe again. I can hope again. I believe that if you are in the field, really it's the field of Boaz, because he's a relative of ours. And actually, technically, legally, he has the right to marry you. And this doctrinal way of thinking, this biblical meditation that goes in your mind This is where you are living. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. What are you hearing? What are you embracing? What are you believing? What goes in your mind and in your heart will define for you your life. But we are told in our society, you know, it all has to do with money and environment and education and your upbringing and all of these things. And if you're privileged or not privileged and all of this kind of, this is ridiculous. It's not reality. Reality has to do with God who made you, and God who speaks to you, and God who is for you, and God who gave you his Son, and God to put his promises, his word of Christ, dwelling richly in your heart and in your mind. That will define for you your life. That'll change you. That'll give you something that the world doesn't have. The world is very good at making people victims. The world is very good at destroying and putting gravel in your grinder. That's a good phrase for a t-shirt. Putting gravel in the grinder, yeah. No. Second thing she says here, verse 20. And Naomi, and this is the abbreviated message for it because I just want to hit my points and introduce the subject and have you think with me by the Holy Spirit today. But for reading the book today or this week, God will teach you something from it. Look at verse 20, chapter 2. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." What is she talking about? She's seeing something. She's seeing kindness. Naomi, the bitter woman, is changing. She is saying, "I see kindness. I see goodness. I see Boaz maybe as a solution to our problem. I see the hand of God. I see God. Maybe blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God." Have you seen God at your working place? Or have you seen God in your family? Have you seen God in your life? I mean, we have seen God. We actually live in a world that says in Psalm 33:6 that his goodness fills the earth. He is everywhere around us. He is here whispering, speaking, talking to us, helping us to see kindness. Is there kindness in the world? Yes. Did he take my husband? Yes. It hurt. But there's healing in his wings, Malachi 4. He took my son, the first one, my husband and son, I could hardly bear it, but I've got one left. And then he took him. I cannot bear it. I cannot bear it. Call me bitter. Recently, I met a man who came here. He lost his daughter in December with overdose. He's devastated, 29-year-old woman, beautiful woman, lost her. He said, "I lost everything. When I lost my daughter, I then just turned to my own way, and I lost my businesses, my cars. I lost everything. Now I'm in rehab. But I'm making my way." I wonder where he is in this process. Like, I don't know. And I love this guy. And he's been here for some weeks. You know, maybe you know, but it doesn't matter. There are many of them. Many of them. But Naomi is, you know, This is what's needed. I say this to warn you. I say this to every one of us. I say this to myself. There's something precious when you can actually smell the coffee beans and actually sense the blessing, the healing, the process of God in life. Actually, where is it going? Where is it going? And this is the fourth one. This is in verse 22. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." Like Ruth was in Boaz's field, Naomi says, that's the kindness. That man is kind. That man may be our solution. But then she said, and to Ruth, "And it's good that you don't go into any other field." And I think there's a message in that. And that is that when you find the hand of God in your life, you don't go to any other field. You stay with God. You stay with his thoughts. You stay with his ways. You stay with his hand. You stay with his people. You stay in the faith. You grow in the faith and you continue in it. But there are many fields that are in the world and people turn to them. What would it be? Well, there's money in this field. I go to this field because, Naomi, if we had money, that would be the thing. And Naomi would say, no, that's not God. We don't need that. You're to be where God wants you to be and stay in that field. God will take care of us and we'll see what God will do. Let's stay in our faith. Let's stay in our Bible. Let's stay in the body of Christ. Let's stay in the way of God. Let's live in love. Let's learn forgiveness. Let's learn to give mercy. Let's believe God for the impossible. Let's have a vision. Let's see what God will do in life. No. I found another field. It's called what can we call it? You can help me. What is it? I found another field. What is it? What? I couldn't hear you. I do. Yeah. What is another field? Gravel field. Okay, what? Self-pity. Ooh. Oh. Self-pity. Feeling sorry for yourself. Do you know that you can find a field and it's in the objective reality of life, it's not the place to be, but it's a place you enjoy nevertheless. It's a field of dysfunction. It's a field of hatred, a field of self-pity, a field of arrogance. I'm just, this is the way it is. This is where I am. This is where I love. I love to be mean and nasty and leave me alone and get off my porch. And this is my world. This is my life. That's the field that people can go in. But Naomi is saying no. And Moses, he knew when he went to Pharaoh, like he was in a contest. And Moses, no. Why does he know? Why does Moses know this? Listen, Paul. He can smell the coffee beans. What do you mean? Moses, when he talks to Pharaoh, he gives the message. And when he's coming home or when he's giving it, he can smell the coffee beans. When he's going home, he goes, I got it. That was a home run. That was a home run. He goes back to Pharaoh and he talks, "Let my people go." Pharaoh says, "Who are you? Get out of my face. I never want to see you again." Moses goes home, he goes, God is in it. God is with me. I don't understand the ways of God, but I know this is right. And when they went to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea split, and they went over, do you know what Moses is doing? He's like, oh yeah, I know what's going on. This is the hand of God. I got it. It's good. I got it. You must have this in your life, you and me. We must have a sense, because this is where our satisfaction is coming from. You see, if you don't have that smell of that goodness that comes, that meditation in your heart and mind, if you don't have it, you won't be satisfied. And you go grind gravel, and there's no smell there. There's no fragrance. There's nothing good but a ruined machine and a ruined life. But I just will finish with this. You and I are blessed people, because this is what I'm saying is real. And this is the Holy Spirit. We've been speaking about the Holy Spirit for one or two Sundays. And Holy Spirit. And tonight I think I want to preach about prayer. And prayer. Do you know that many Christians do not pray? Many Christians do not pray. They don't know about it. And they don't pray. Yes, they say short prayer. Yes, they do pray like that. Yes, when they're in trouble, or they do the formal or the prayers. Now, many of us, and I'm including myself, I have known it, but I want to have a prayer, revival in my life. Because maybe God has done many, many great things through our prayers. I'm sure he has. But I honestly care about those amongst us that have yet not discovered the amazing blessing and satisfaction and fellowship that comes from an hour of prayer, of waiting on God, a time of trust and waiting on God. You see, there are people, Christians, that have this fragrance, in their prayer, and they get up off their knees, or they come home from their prayer walk, and they're like, they're like feeling it, like that. Whoa, yes, this is real. Thank you, Jesus. So that's our message today. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we need to be fed coffee beans for our grinders. We need coffee beans. We need good stuff. We need to be fed, Lord. Because nobody in this room knows about your future. Nobody, nobody. None of us know what tomorrow will bring. But we know what thoughts we can think. And we know that you are with us in it. Help us, Lord, please, that we would not be foolish, living a life from event to event without your presence. From one thing to the next without your mind. Give us the discipline, academic discipline of study, our time in the Bible college, if I can, at home and with my own Bible, my listening to messages on the internet from our ministry that'll help us grow in our faith. And then anyone listening who've not yet started your walk of faith, come today to Jesus. Put your trust in him and say to Jesus, I need you. Come into my life to be my Savior. I will talk to you through the days. I will trust you. I will learn of you. And you will help me. In Jesus' name, you will save me. today, right now, you will save me by your grace. In Jesus' name, I pray. And anyone raise your hand saying that prayer for the first time, yes to Jesus. Anyone in the auditorium, we have a hand over here. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Another one over here. Thank you. God bless you. Two people. Yes. To start your spiritual life, your new birth, you're born again by putting your trust in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these thoughts today. And bless our day in your name. Amen. Would the Greater Grace pastors come forward? And then while we're singing, if anyone in the audience wants a prayer or a blessing or some financial question or a prayer or something like that, then come on forward and then we'll be dismissed.